Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, October 31st, 2021. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is the third part of our series, Living in Babylon. Our text today is Daniel chapter 2, verse 26 and 44 through 45. And now, Pastor Zoni.
Daniel. We'll see if we can finish Daniel today. Because in Daniel chapter 2, we have found some truths how to live in a society that is contrary to the message of the gospel. So we looked at that chapter 2. So let's look at the scripture now, and we can read that. And I think you remember this. In this one text, we find tremendous amount of material to dissect what it means to be living in the United States of America today. It says, the king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And I also want you to jump, the verse 44 and 45 are, gives us a sense of what we want to do today. Because in the verse we just read, it speaks about a name, the name of Daniel, who also not only had the name Daniel, who, that was Jewish, but also Belshazzar, which was a Babylonian name, and how this individual excelled himself in the court of the king Nebuchadnezzar, and how he was one of the great ones. He was. And because of this event in his life, no one could interpret the dream of the king, and he did. And he became a ruler over most of the entire province of Babylon. And he was in charge, was placed in charge of all the wise men. There was something about this man, Daniel. He had God in his heart, because even as he was taken captive, he purposed in his heart not to contaminate himself, not to defile his heart with paganism. We live in a country today that is hostile to Christianity. There was a time when the United States accommodated itself to the culture, and it was a so-called Christian culture. It really never was fully Christian culture, because there is no such a thing. We have cultures that have Christian people. But anyway, regardless of how we define that, we understood that Sunday morning was church, and shops around the United States would close on the Sunday because everybody went to church. And there was that type of dignity afforded to the church. Ministers had a position in society. No council meeting would ever begin in a city without prayer from one of the clergy from the city. There was something about clergy, and there was something about the church that was part of the culture. But today, there is a rabid and rabid reaction towards Christianity. And Christianity doesn't seem to have a place anywhere in the public square. And when we want to proclaim Jesus as Lord, we're driven out of the public square, and they try to muzzle the voice of Christ. So Daniel was taken to Babylon, and along with others, conquered, and they had to submit to what was going on in their culture. And they had two options, in reality. One of them was to fight back the culture and become isolated from Babylon and everything that was going on, or merge into the culture as lights and as salt. And that's exactly what Daniel did. And you and I, you know, we need to be very careful how we live our lives. And we have to live a life that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Words of the Bible, word of God. And so it's not that you're going to find a sweet spot where you will not have persecutions, or you will not have problems or difficulties. There will always be some sort of a kickback of sort. There will always be a reaction to your position in the Lord, but that's it's supposed to be. And the chicken way out is to merge and become one of them, where people cannot understand whether you're a Christian or not. And this happens often. You disguise yourself. And I don't think you do it purposely. I think you just do it because of pressure. You intend to do right, but people at work don't even know that you're a Christian. They should know that you're a Christian. And you should take a stand where you are as a Christian. Huh. That takes some strength, but it needs to happen. It needs to happen. Because your conviction should be that powerful that you will not be overthrown by the world and its things. Well, to make the story short, first we have the names, and then the second episode is the statue. The king had a dream about a statue, and nobody knew what that dream was except the king. And he demanded for his wise men to tell him not only the meaning of the dream, but the dream itself, without telling the wise men what the dream was. And that was a pretty tall order, and nobody could do this. No one ever asked this of the wise people. The wise men cannot deliver that. It's impossible. And so the king says, you've been bamboozling me all the time. You've been giving me stuff, and now either you give me that or I'll kill you all. And they couldn't do it. So every wise man's going to die, including Daniel. And so Daniel got concerned, of course, along with others. And so he sought the Lord. And the story goes on that the Lord revealed it to him. And so word was sent to the king that Daniel, one of the exiles, you never lose your exile position. You're always from the outside. You're never from the inside. He said, had the revelation. And so last week we saw this revelation that it was the king had a statue of himself and building beautiful empire, gorgeous, one of the 20th most important, more powerful men in history. Think of that, one of the 20. And it was a statue of gold and silver. The head was gold, the chest was silver, and the breast was, as you go through the statues, it's gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then feet, clay, and iron. And the dream goes on that a rock came, cut from somewhere else, and it tumbled the entire image, tumbled it completely. And the story of this is that we all make statues in our lives. We all have dreams and desires and gold and silver and bronze and iron, but we all have feet of clay. And the idea is that you and I may have all kinds of dreams, but every dream that you and I have that is not based on the Lord will come tumbling down. And so today, I'd like to talk a little bit about the rock. And this is verse 44. It says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Yeah, the statue, the gold, the silver, the bronze, all the wonderful ingredients and substances that we build our dreams on. Yeah, we have. All of us have dreams in our lives. But in this case, a rock comes out of nowhere. And it shatters this big image, this big dream. The statue that should have been preserved and passed on is broken into pieces. And this rock that came from out of nowhere begins to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow so much that it says it'll crush all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. So the way in which the rock comes and hits the statue, it happens. It hits the statue. It's a small rock, but it begins to grow. Gradually, not in one sweep, but gradually grows and tumbles down the statue. Couple of things. This rock came first in Jesus. When Jesus came, he came in weakness and he came as a servant. Because the rock is Jesus Christ. The kingdom is the kingdom of God. He was whipped. He was ridiculed. He was persecuted. He was sentenced to die. He was crucified, and in the cross, he said himself, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The rock came to this world. It came. It came in such a way that he was even subject to the temptations that we're all subject to. You all remember Matthew chapter 4. Satan comes after Jesus had been fasting for 30 days, 40 days, 40 nights. And Jesus said he was hungry. And so the enemy came and said to him, are you really hungry? Well, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you make this bread turn into stone? We all are looking for satisfaction in life. We're looking and longing for our hunger to be quenched and thirst to be quenched. But Jesus responded that that's not the way in which life is intended to live, because it's not by only by bread that man would live, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then the enemy came and said to Jesus again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself out in the cliff, and he'll, the Bible says he'll send angels to help you and all this and all the other. But Jesus responded and said, you know, I don't need to make bravados. I don't need to make a dashing statement in the world. I don't need to shine and float in the air. None of that kind of stuff. He says, in a very clear and in a very wonderful way, he says, don't tempt the Lord your God. God knows what he's doing and how he does it. I don't have to show off anything. And then, of course, the devil took him to this high pinnacle and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, we only worship God. We don't worship you. And then the devil left him. Jesus never argued with the devil. He never argued with him. Never said, you're right, you're wrong. He just simply responded with the word of God. Jesus came in weakness in the sense that he is the second person of the Trinity, and yet here the enemy dares to come to him and dares to speak to him and dares to challenge his authority. The rock came, brothers and sisters, he came. And it was not the work of man, but the work of God. It was not a rock that was that came out of some quarry, but it just came. It just came. It was the least valuable substance of that whole statue, just a piece of rock. And in the eyes of the world, my brothers and sisters, the rock is not valuable. In the eyes of the world, people can't understand why you and I worship God. In the eyes of the world, we're hungry, so let's make stones bread. Yeah, we want to show off to everybody that God's with me, so let the signs and wonders begin. And we test the Lord and we tempt the Lord. We live our lives in such a way that we often wonder if we should bow down and worship not Christ, but the enemy that offers us so many opportunities. And that's the statue. That's the statue of our lives. However, the world may not value the rock, but you see, the rock is the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of God that comes. And I want you and I to understand this morning that God's kingdom is gradual in appearance. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't blow up everything. But it comes as a small mustard seed. And it grows and it develops. And it becomes home, a place for the birds, as it says in the parable, for them to dwell and to be. The smallest of all seed, but it grows and it develops. And the kingdom of God is already that. And here is the key for our morning service. That the kingdom of God came, and yet it is coming. It came in the person of Jesus Christ as a meek servant, as a suffering servant, as the one who was whipped and crucified, someone who we would never identify as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But when Christ came, he brought the kingdom. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the kingdom of God came with Christ Jesus. But yet he's coming again. And when he comes again, he will not come to suffer. He will not come to be whipped or crucified. He will come to reign forever and ever and ever. And the kingdom of God is moving in that direction today. So in the midst of all the stuff that you and I go through, we have to understand that the kingdom of God is here, but not totally fulfilled. That we belong to him, but yet we still are not fully revealed as we will be. He's here. the Lord, but not in fullness. The kingdom of God is here, but not in fullness. There's some gaps in our lives, gaps in our lives. You know, the power of the resurrection, that's exactly what Paul wanted to know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Because when Christ died and rose again, ascended and sent the church forward, he sent it with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the kingdom yet to come. So all of a sudden, we find ourselves in this time, in this dimension of time, and yet we draw strength for the time that will come. We go into the future, talk about back to the future. We go into the future, and he brings the power of the resurrection to our lives. And we live lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the risen Christ. We have the kingdom of God. It's already here, but not in fullness. The gospel, it says that I am a terrible sinner and that I sin. But the gospel also tells me that I'm complete in him. I have the kingdom in me, and yet it has not fully developed. I belong to him, I'm his, and yet there's a fullness that I have yet to experience in my life. In other words, the kingdom of God is here, is already here, and yet it's not here. Santos, pero pecadores. Saints, but sinners. Issues that go on in our lives that we say, well, if God would be with you then, why are you doing that? Because we still have this carnal issue going on. We still have our bodies. We still have our carnal mentality. We're still in the process of the renovation of our minds. See, so when I say this, it calls for you and I to be flexible in the way in which we treat one another and we love one another and we work with one another. Flexibility, because you see, you and I live in a time and space that is different. We're not yet there, and yet the there has come to us in the person of Christ. I see all of you are nicely confused, and you're all wearing special helmets to see if there could be a time-teller experience here. But it means that there is no perfect church. It means that there's no perfect individual. It means that we all have our flaws. It means that that rock has come, but is gradually filling the space. And eventually, the whole world will be filled with his glory. The whole world will belong to God. And we will be part of that. No perfect church. We have arrived, and yet we have not arrived. The kingdom is here, and yet it is coming. So we can come together and grow with the rock. We come and we develop. And we seek to serve in a suffering and weakened position. Because we're not yet there. We're not there yet. It's going to take time for you and I to enter the presence of the Lord and for perfection to take place in all of our hearts, that we can actually experience it. So we already love people, and yet sometimes we don't love people. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes things are good, sometimes things are bad. The kingdom of God is very much like that. But it calls you and I to live a life of understanding, a life of love. I'm going to use a word, a life of tolerance. Sometimes we impose too much on other people. There's an inflexibility. And we are quick to criticize, and we're quick to point the finger, and we're quick to say this is wrong. And yet you know very well that when you point one finger, there are three pointing at you and one pointing at God. The kingdom of God is like that. We live in that space where perfection has not been reached. This stone came and tumbled the statue, but it grows, it develops. God wants to develop in our lives, because with he coming next time, brothers and sisters, he will come in majesty and power and dominion and strength. Consumerism today seeks to find people comfortable in church, and I'm not going to put anybody down for wanting to do that, but sometimes we get it wrong. It's finding comfort in doing nothing. What is that? That means you are not Daniel anymore. You're Belshazzar. There's got to be some rough edges to things that go around in your life. because that's the nature of it. We don't come to church to be entertained or to necessarily be accommodated. But we come to church to worship God and to thank God for what he has done and what he is continuing to do in our lives, and to give him all the praise and the glory. This is not, and you very well know this, this is not a cinema. This is not the show. This is the church. Big difference. This is not a lodge. It's not a society. It's not a club. It's the church of the living God, with people who are flawed, with people who have yet to be what they will ultimately be, consumed completely in the glory and the presence of the Lord. We all have our shortcomings, but the rock will grow. And there's going to come a time when there will be no end to the kingdom of God. And all of the issues that you and I have to put up with today will be neutralized by his presence in our life. But between now and then, you and I need to learn how to grow in the kingdom. That it doesn't happen all at once. That it's slow. It's methodical, but slow. You and I are not yet there. I had a conversation with a very important leader, a Christian leader this week. I'm not going to mention his name, but very important, very, very big church. We've been friends for years. And as I was on the phone, he mentioned somebody that worked with him that I don't necessarily get along with. What are those things, you know? How can you work with that guy? You know, it's just conversation. And he said something to me that is so apropos for this message that I think he slapped my face. But that's okay. I let people slap my face now and then. Some of you are happy that somebody actually does that. I know who you are. I know you. Every time you see me, you want to slap my face, but you know Wilma's around, and so you don't do it. No, you know what he said to me? Yeah, he says, for whatever reasons, I'm always around with people that need something. And that just shook me up to my boots. Because we are all in need of something. I said, oh, I said, you just slapped my face. And he said, how did it feel? I said, it felt good. Because now you've given me a new line of thought for my message on Sunday. And he said, don't blame me for your Sunday service. But tolerance and understanding that we're in the making, that we are being processed, that we have not reached that, wow, I'm perfect. We're not. So the rock will grow, destroying the image of perfection that the world seems to want us to have. The only perfection is the rock, Christ. A substance, again, that is not valuable and common, despised by the world, nor encouraged by any, just a rock. Christ in your heart grows and develops and strengthens, and as it grows, it pushes out those things that are made out of silver and gold. I should start with gold, and then silver, and then bronze, and iron. All those things that we have put up there to build ourselves our statue, Christ comes and shatters it, destroys it, throws it down, because the kingdom is greater than all of that. Yeah, I kind of found myself surrounded by people that need something. How about you? We all have people around us that need something. And that something is Christ Jesus. And that something also is our love and our tolerance, accepting people where they are in this stage of growing with the Lord. I don't know about your statue, but the real kingdom is not built by your hands. I don't care how much silver or gold you have. I don't care how bright you are. It doesn't matter your pedigree, your last name, your first name, your other name, whatever. It doesn't matter where you were born, who your parents are, or where. What matters is that the rock is there and that the kingdom of God is established forever. Paul put it this way. You know, he says, I look at my life. Gee, I have a great life, he said. I was a Pharisee. I mean, he had to detail his pedigree. I mean, the man was a genius. He would be one of the highest authorities in the world today. The biggest academician that could ever exist. And he said, and he lists all the accomplishments. That, and he says, I look at all of them and I consider them but rubbish, so that I may attain the prize, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because no matter how you build your life or how you build your statue with your cars, with your cars, with your bank accounts, with your retirements, with whatever, it's all very good and wonderful and praise God for God blessing you, but it can never take the place of the kingdom of God in your life. When you bank on all those things and you put aside the kingdom, all of that will be destroyed from one day to the next. I mean, it was just a couple of months ago, 6 months ago, that I was so happy with $45, my tank of gas. I said, you know, we better go ahead and if we're going to buy anything, buy it now, because the way this is going, you know, $10 in 2 weeks is going to be the equal of 40. Inflation. You bank on the things of this system. You think that that's where your statue is that where your strength is. Where no, you bank on the Lord, because he will provide you the extra $20 or the $40. He's your provider. Not the world, not the system, but the Lord. So Paul said, I have not attained it. I've not reached that place in my life where I can say it's all put together right. We're talking about Paul. He said, I've not reached it. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, and this is how I want us to finish our study this morning, forgetting the things that are behind me, not mourning and crying over yesterday's, all my troubles seem so far away. Did I just plagiarize? Yeah. But looking forward to the future, stop crying about yesterday or trying to find answers in yesterday. Your answers are in the present and in the presence of the Lord. Where that rock falls and it begins to grow and it begins to develop, you're bound and part of a kingdom that will never, ever end. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Not the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom of God. Based and rooted in him and not in the system of today. So you and I, with tolerance for one another and love for one another, we need to pray with great fervency. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Let's say it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And this kingdom will come. And it will come. It's already come into your heart. It's already in and yet not fully fulfilled. It is here and yet it's coming. We're Christians and yet we're sinners. We're saints and yet we do what's wrong. So we live in that space and time, in that moment of existence where the past wants to obliterate the present, simply because the past often does not contain the seeds of deliverance and is afraid of the challenge that Jesus was able to counter. Are you hungry? The world says, are you hungry? Then just do what everybody else does. But then Jesus, who said clearly, no, not by bread. Man will not live by bread alone. We serve this world in weakness, We serve in this world with suffering and pain. We're servants. There's a whole issue of pain and discomfort and agony. Gee, you would like to go somewhere else to hear this, right? But no, it's the truth. It's not uncommon for Christians to go through hard times, difficult times. But it's part of being a Christian. It's part of serving God in the capacity in which we're in. But someday we will be relieved from all of that. And Paul says that what we suffer in this world cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us who believe in Jesus Christ. So, with tolerance and with love, we see our dream fall down. We see the statue falling down. We see that the kingdoms of this world will not sustain us. And we look towards the kingdom that will come, that will be complete for you and for me. So, I tried my best to show you the importance of understanding that when we live in Babylon, we have to remember that we also live for God. And I pray that you will remember with all your hearts that when things come down, when the chips come down and things go wrong, even the king of Babylon will ask you to resolve the problems. Because I didn't say that last week, but it always amazes me that as much as the people will make fun of us, will not believe us, will not trust us, will doubt us, when they get sick, they ask us to pray for them. When they're in trouble, they say, would you pray? Yes, because there is this dimension to your life and my life, which is of God, that causes us to have a connection with Jesus. Because it says, when we pray to the Father in his name, he will answer and he will give us the requests of our heart. And the world knows that. And so we will be able to see the world building their own statues, but we'll also see that there is a rock that comes and gives us the triumph. So we're there, and yet we're not there. We are, but we are not. I can live with that. Ambiguity is part of my name. Isn't it true that in Latin America we're so advanced that we have two last names because we belong to both father and mother? You don't have that here, huh? Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I'll have to pray for God to deliver you from that cultural habit. Anyway, what I'm saying is that we belong to two worlds. We belong to God, and yet we're in this earth. It's a responsibility to live out in such a way that we will give the glory to God and know the kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is here and yet not totally fulfilled. But I'm going to still live because the statues that I want to build, the images that I have for myself, will come tumbling down. Can I hear an amen of sorts? That's it. We're going home early today. Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and for allowing us to see that any image that we would build for ourselves or anything that we can dream for ourselves fails when it comes to the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Lord, there are many things in our lives that have come crushing down, and we wonder why they have come crushing down, because you've entered into our life and you're reshaping and rearranging our lives so that we would meet the qualifications to serve you as your children, that we will be servants of you. Father, I pray that you will enlighten our hearts and cause us to live as men and women of faith. We pray for this country. We pray, Lord, for this world, but for our country and for this state, Lord, and for the city. We pray for your will to be done, and that we would be men and women that have the vision of a kingdom that has come and yet is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
And amen, and amen. All right, so this is the day. Let me dismiss you in prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org or check out the Facebook page. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.